Blog Talk Radio.
Here we go again, Israel. A lot of Israelites is going back into the world, you know? I can't figure it out. I mean, where you gonna go? Where you gonna go after you heard this truth?
I've got a question.
Good evening, Yisrael, family and listening audience. Welcome to another session of Can It Be That Simple? I'm your host, Yahweh Al of Beth Yahweh Congregation in Baltimore, Maryland. As always, I'll suggest that everyone grab your study tools, your iPad, your notepad, your highlighters, your Bible, and some other things that I could tell you, but, you know, you've heard it before. We're going to have another class and start off with a free prayer. Before I say a prayer, you can hear me, just send a thumbs up. Thank you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to come to yet another Sabbath day. We thank you for the lessons and the blessings that you allowed us to learn throughout the course of this week. We thank you for this journey. We thank you for allowing us to be on this journey. We thank you for influencing us through thy son, Yahushua, to choose your ways and choose your laws, statutes, and judgments, but ultimately to choose to follow Yahushua. Father, we thank thee for your love, kindness. We thank thee, Father, for forgiving us for the sins we committed against thee, both knowingly and unknowingly. And we thank you for opening our minds to receive the wonders of your word on your Sabbath day. We thank you, Father, for the health and strength that you've given those who are in need of health and strength. We thank you, Father, for the protection that you've given us throughout the course of this week. Father, we just thank you for being you and doing the things that you do. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We pray Yahushua's holy and precious name. Amen. Blessed are you, Yahushua, our mighty one, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with his commandments, took pleasure in us, and with love and favor gave us his holy Sabbath as a heritage and remembrance of creation. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Amen. I'm your host, once again, Yara'al of Beth Yahweh Congregation in Baltimore, Maryland. And this particular session is going to be, I'm going to say, rather interesting. And what makes it interesting is, going to give praise to the Most High for my lessons and blessings that he gave me throughout the course of this week. Because I started the week off on a real, real, real rough note. And throughout the course of the week, it started panning out. And not saying that I don't pray, but, I definitely was praying this week, praying a little more than I normally do. Because I was really, really, really annoyed with my leadership at my place of employment. And it just, just really got on me. And I think because, I'm not saying I don't like, unfortunately we lost one of our coworkers. And in that process, management allowed staff. First of all, we already short-staffed. And then management allowed staff to not be there, which forced me to have to work when I didn't really want to work, even though I don't want to work when they tell me I need to work anyway. Because, I'd rather go home. But to really know that these people were allowed to call out on these different shifts to give honor to the dead. And that's what got to me. I think that's what really bogged me down at the beginning of this week. The Father got me through it. He got me through it, He got me through it. And I just got to give praise and give honor. And I had an opportunity to see some of my brothers throughout the course of the week. And so that was always definitely a pleasure, to have an opportunity to run across them throughout the course of the week. Running across them several times throughout the course of the week. And so that's always a pleasure when you have an opportunity to run across a brother and just say shalom. Shalom. I think one time I came up on him. I think I might have had something to eat, something to drink with him. But, whatever it was, it just was very refreshing. But, as the week panned out, everything, smoothed out. And I just have to give the Father the praise, give him his honor, And as I was going through this week, I was just thinking about Yahushua and what he went through for my sake, And I have to realize that I have to go through some of the same, levels of persecution. I might not be getting beat on my back. Might not be getting spit on or getting my hair pulled out, but my mind is definitely being pulled to and fro, but to have the the laws, statutes, and judgments, because ultimately I'm just trying to be a good representative of this word, of Yahushua, and then to have my brothers to say shalom and, you know, just help me keep my bearings, you know. So that was, you know, I'm going to give my little testimony of how the Father is good, how he's good. He's good to me. And if he's good to me, I know he's good to all who are listening on this line and those who are not listening on this line. But one of the things that I've learned is that people really don't understand how the Father loves them and how Yahushua loved them also because of what he did, what he agreed to. You know, and many of us, it's difficult for us to agree to, you know, go out to dinner. You know, some of us, it's a problem to agree to do anything, you know, let alone lay your life down. You know, so we'll get into this lesson. And the lesson is, you know, the title is a combination of two sayings. You know, hopefully, you know, you'll get it. If not, I'm going to just tell you afterwards. He said, title of this lesson is, every blade of grass is not glittering on the golden side. And as, you know, I was trying to, you know, a combination of two statements. You know this old saying, the grass is not always green on the other side, or everything that glitters is not gold. And this lesson is basically dealing with, you know, we live in an era with, you know, we got so much technology. We have iPhones. We got the internet. We got various sources. We got television. We got radio. We got a whole bunch of stuff that we can gain information from. And because we have these vehicles of gaining information, our minds are being bogged down with stuff, information, lights, cameras, colors, sounds, all this stuff, you know. And some of these things become distractions to us. And because they become distractions to us, it causes us to really forget the things that are important. And the things that are important is our love for the Most High, our love for our big brother, Yahushua. Sometimes we forget what he has done. Sometimes we forget what the Father has laid down for us. And we decide that we want something else because we're not really appreciating the things that we actually have. So I'm going to start off with a proverb. This is a German proverb by Myrner, and it reads, "Do not throw the baby out with the bathwater." Many people have said that, and it's an expression for avoidable errors in which something good or of value is eliminated when trying to get rid of something unwanted. And I bring this up because, you know, when we as believers are searching the internet, you're looking at the television, listening to the radio at that, you know, people have their opinion. And sometimes the opinions that people are saying resonate with us. And we agree with some of the things that they're saying. And we're like, okay. But then what we do, because it agrees with something that we think, we decide we want to share it with someone. And when we share it with someone, that person may think that you agree with everything that this person is saying, when in essence, you might not agree with everything. You just agree with the last 2 seconds of what he said in this three-hour segment. But then you're not going to tell a person, yo, listen to the last 3 seconds of this segment. No, you want to give them the whole segment and then tell them, hey, this has some powerful stuff in it. This has some great information in it. And all the great information was in the last 3 seconds. But this person has listened to 3 hours of stuff. Idiom we're going to read is, and, you know, most of the times people always say this part of it. It says, but chew the meat and spit out the bones. But what they are forgetting or what they're not saying is the beginning part of it. The beginning part of this particular statement is, do not swallow every story that is told. There may be a grain of truth somewhere in all the mist, but chew the meat and spit out the bones. And they have a definition for this particular idiom. It is to separate good and valuable information from that which is unsound and invalid. What I'm saying is, it's okay to listen to other people's things, other people's stuff. I'm not saying not to listen to it. I'm not saying not to listen to it. But before you decide you want to start sharing stuff, you need to study it. Study and make sure that it is approved to be shared. Make sure. Because me as an individual, I'm trapped in the Stone Age. I'm trapped in the Stone Age. I'm a very simple type of person. I have a simple type of occupation. You know, it doesn't require me to do a whole lot of thinking. And just a whole bunch of listening and following directions. That's the nature of my occupation. But one of the things about my occupation is prevention. Prevention. You put things in place to prevent certain things from happening. And if things happen, you have put things in place that you can ease the pain when you live in the, you know, when you work in an ideal work environment. But most of the times in my environment, they do a lot of reactionary, you know, which sometimes annoys me. We shouldn't have to be in a bad situation in order to come up with a solution. See, one of the things when we read in the scriptures, that's one thing that Yahweh definitely did not do. He prepared people for different things. He let you know up front. So one of the things we have to understand that the Father lets us know, he gives us warning before things even happen. Case in point, Noah and the flood. He brought it to Noah's attention about the flood. He told Noah to warn the people. He allowed Noah to warn the people 120 years. In the process, he was building this ark, and people were not paying him any attention, not offering to help him out, but he was still talking about it was going to rain. Water was going to come from the sky. And Noah found favor in the Father's eyes, favor in Yahweh's eyes, but he did warn him. Another example. When he was getting ready to get rid of Sodom and Gomorrah, what did he do? He went down and he talked to Abraham, letting him know in advance, look, getting ready to go down here and handle some business. I'm just letting you know what I'm getting ready to do. Abraham knew he had some fam down in there, but what did he do? He started rapping with the Most High. Started talking to him. You know, he was talking to him so much, he said, you know, Father, I'm not trying to get on your nerves, but, you know, and he listened to him. One of the things that I'm learning in regards to these scriptures, you have to believe the scriptures. So if he warned them, he's going to warn us also. He's going to let us know of putting things in place so that when things come down the pipe, we're prepared for them. Later down in the scriptures, he talks about the foolish and the five wise women. One was prepared, one wasn't prepared. He prepares us. He tells us. So we don't have to go anywhere else to get information about stuff. I'm not saying we're not supposed to listen to other people's stuff. That's not what I'm saying. Just saying, do your research before you decide to start talking about things and sharing things. You know, because when you get the old antiquated cat, he doesn't really find it any interest in it. He gets tired of his phone just beeping, beep, 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 beep. So now we're going to go to a couple of scriptures. And the scripture we're going to start off with is Jeremiah 7, chapter 7, verse 23. And it reads, "But this thing I command them, saying, listen to my voice, and I will be your mighty one, and you shall be my people. Walk in all the ways I command you, that it may be well with you. But they did not listen or turn their ear, but walked in their own counsel and the stubbornness of their evil heart, and went backwards and not forward." I'm starting off with this particular scripture is because sometimes we as believers, we listen for a moment, but then we formulate our opinion about what the scriptures are saying or what we think we understand about the scriptures. And then we cause ourselves to go contrary to what the scriptures are saying or what the scriptures teach and cause us to be out of the will of the Most High because we're not listening to what he is saying. And we also have learned over the years that he chooses men to speak on his behalf. Yahushua sends that spirit to these men to speak on their behalf. He sends them with that spirit. He enables that man to go through his word and pick it apart together to give you that message from him. From here, we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6. And it reads, "This is what Yahweh, the King of Israel and the Redeemer, Yahweh of armies say, I am the first, I am the last, and besides me, there is no mighty one." So right here, we're understanding that Yahweh is the King of Israel. He's the Redeemer of Israel. And he is the leader of the army. And outside of him, there is no God. There is no entity that is greater than him. So we as believers have to understand that we cannot put anything before him. Because if we do put something before him, what have we created? We have created a God. We have created an idol. From here, we're going to go to Exodus 19, verse 5. And it reads, "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession from all the peoples, for the earth is mine. These are things that the Father is telling us. First, he's telling us to obey his voice. Keep his covenant. That's that agreement. And we be his. We'll be his. Because he has chosen us, because the earth is his. We just read that there's nobody before him, nobody after him. And it's all his. From here, we're going to go to Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. And it reads, "You shall have no other gods before me." This is what Yahweh is saying to the people. This is what he's saying to his people. And this is where we at right now. We identify ourselves as Israel. And Israel is Yahweh's people. But from here, we're going to go to Exodus chapter 23. I'm going to read verses 13, verse 24, and verse 33. And it reads, "Be careful to do all things that I have said to you, and do not invoke the name of other gods or even let them be heard out of your mouth. You shall not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor follow their practices, but you shall utterly overthrow them and demolish their pillars. They shall not dwell in your land, lest they make you sin against me. For if you serve their God, it will surely be a snare to you." See, one of these things, the things that we're talking about is, you know, this is Moses telling the people that, you know, in due time, they're going to go to the promised land. They're going to go to another land. They're going to be amongst other people. And when they are amongst other people, they are not supposed to pay attention or wonder about their gods. Because we understand and know that these gods are created by them. We're going to go to Exodus chapter 34. I'm going to read verses 12 to 16. And it reads, "Be careful lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land where you are going, lest it be a snare among you. But you shall break down their altars and dash into pieces their pillars, and you shall cut down that Asherah poles, for you shall worship no other god. For Yahweh, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous mighty one. Do not make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, lest they play the prostitute after their gods and sacrifice to their gods, and one call you, and you eat of his sacrifice. And you take of their daughters or sons, and their daughters play the prostitute after their gods, and make your sons play the prostitute after their gods." We'll stop here for a minute. See, when we sit down and we teach our children about these laws, statutes, and judgments, yes, we understand that people have choices in the matter. They have choices, and we can't fault them for their choices. But we have to give them a sound foundation. We have to give them good examples
make, if they choose to go contrary to the example that you're showing them, then that's their choice. We learned that in the story of Cain and Abel. Abel gave a good offering. Cain did not. Cain was upset. He was mad. He was sad. He was disappointed. And the father went to him and said, hey, if you do well, you will get well. See, every person has an opportunity to make the choice to do well or continue to do bad. One of the, as the scriptures that the father tells us, he said, I think he's talking about good and evil, but he said, choose life. He tells us. He strongly suggests to us to choose life. One of the things in thinking about families or parents teaching their children the right ways of Yah, giving them the understanding of Yahushua. One of the things that happened throughout the course of this rough week of mine, I had an opportunity, unfortunately, if you're from Baltimore, the young kid that got, lost his life over in Anderson Village. Unfortunately, I was working on the unit that received that young cat, that young gentleman. And it was interesting, because some of the times, when you deal with tragic situations like that, you tend to wonder, oh, man, what is this person's family going to be like, this, that, and the other. You understand people are grieving, people, they're going to be going through certain things. But unfortunately, this gentleman was, somewhere where he wasn't supposed to be. He was doing school hours, but he, victim of circumstance, right? So I end up having to interact with the person's family. And the person's family was like, whoa. They were very difficult people to deal with. And it's like, if they were difficult to deal with, what type of environment were they providing for this young person? What type of guidance were they giving to this young person? One of the things lately I've been saying that, this generation that we're in, I'm calling them the Grand Theft Auto generation. Because a number of these children that's going through these murders and things of that nature, these murders are similar to seen in that game. In the game, you had a person going through the city wreaking havoc, taking cars, beating a person up in the car, taking a car, driving somewhere, grabbing a weapon, shooting somebody, getting back in the car and riding off. And, if something happened to them, then they push the reset button. A lot of these, in my opinion, some of these things that are happening in this city, I can't speak for any other city, is these young kids are not being groomed and not being given responsibilities and not being parented, not being given a solid choice on how to live, from my opinion, because they may be being taught the things that they're doing based on the environment that they're living in, based on the people that they are seeing. We strive to live a righteous life, but you have others who strive to live an unrighteous life. And in their unrighteousness, they feel as though they're benefiting. And if they're benefiting, they don't see a reason to even change. Whereas we are benefiting, but yet we still see a reason to change. Why? Because through studying the scriptures, the Father lets us know where we are and where we can be. He gives us an example of where we should be. And that's through Yahushua, the Mashiach, our Lord and our Savior and our Redeemer. That is a goal that we as believers strive to achieve. As we're going through this winter months, what are we doing? We're constantly reflecting on our life, reflecting on this, reflecting on that. Why? Because a new season, a new year, a new life is about to come upon us as we approach Aviv, as we approach the season in which our Savior laid his life down for us. What are we doing? Those seeds that have been planted in us are waiting to burst forth in this up and coming year. Because throughout the winter, we're still watering that seed that dwells within us. And we're going to look at the terms of the season. They have rain. They have snow, which is a form of water, letting us know that the seed is always being nurtured. And that's one of the things that that Spirit does for us, that seed of Yahushua that dwells within us. It nurtures that seed and gives that seed the necessary nourishment so that we can show him in our day-to-day life. But we have to strip ourselves of our persona, of our isms and schisms. Because if we're trying to maintain our isms and schisms, what's going to happen? We're going to be found out. We're going to be found out. We're going to be looked at as that sheep and wolf, that wolf in sheep's clothing. Because that's all we are. We're trying to give the appearance as if we are righteous, when in essence we're wicked. He already told us we're wicked. He already told us to get rid of it. I think in the last session we was talking about how he's going to turn that stony heart into a heart of flesh. It's nothing we do. But it is something we do. We tell ourselves we're willing to do what it takes so that we can enter into that gate. When Yahushua is standing at it, when you in, so that you can meet our Father. We're going to go to Numbers chapter 25, verse 1. And it reads, Israel stayed in Pithom, and the people began to play prostitutes with the daughters of Moab. But they called the people to the sacrifice of their gods. The people ate and bowed down to their gods. Israel joined himself to Baal Peor, and Yahweh's anger burned against Israel. Yahweh said to Moses, take all the chiefs of the people and hang them up to Yahweh before the sun, that their fierce anger of Yahweh may turn away from Israel. Moses said to the judges of Israel, everyone kill his men who have joined themselves to Baal Peor. You see this? During that time, Yahweh told Moses, yo, tell your elders, tell them, yo, these people that have joined to Baal Peor, yo, go kill them. In this day and time, we ain't killing them. But when it's meant to cut them off, you got to cut them off. And so cut them off. Why? They are not doing proper. They are causing the mighty one to be angry. And when the mighty one is angry, what did he do? What do we just read? So he told his man. He told Moses. What's going to happen in this day and time? He's going to tell his man. He's going to tell the prophet. He's going to tell the teachers. He's going to tell the priests. Yo, they goofing up. Yo, kill them. Get rid of them. He's going to tell them. This is what the narrative is telling us. We have to get ourselves right. We say we're Israel. We're supposed to stand and listen and learn from the prophet, from the teachers. And that goes for the teachers also. You're supposed to learn from the prophet, the one who has been chosen, the one who has the connection. What comes to mind is that story or that narrative in regards to Aaron and Miriam. What happened? They rose up. It felt as though the Father talked to them too. I got something for you. I did talk to you. However, I talked to you different than I talked to my man Moses. I talked to you in dreams and similitudes and all of this. But my man Moses, my prophet Moses, I talked to him face to face. He don't have to wonder when I'm telling him. Clearly, you got to figure it out. And you had to ultimately go back to Moses and tell him what you had a dream about, so that he can ask what this dream means. So there is a chain of command, even for us. As from here, we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 3 and 4. And this is just talking about, you know, this when we're dealing with, you know, the interacting outside of Israel. And these are the things that happen before time. You shall not make marriage with them. You shall not give your daughters for his son, nor shall you make your daughters for your son, nor shall you take his daughter for your son. For that which turn away your son from following me, that they may serve other gods. For Yahweh's anger will be kindled against you, and he will destroy you quickly. See, our children are not supposed to be going out there and finding or looking for women outside of the fold. They're not supposed to be doing that. But then that goes back to in the fold, we have to teach our children, give them the understanding that they need, give them the nurturing, give them the tools so that when they do go out in the world, they have the necessary questions and tools to find. Not really find, because the Father is going to lead and guide them to someone that's of the fold. Because as the scripture said, is there anything too hard for the mighty one? No, it's not. So it's not hard for our children of Israel to find another child of Israel or a spouse that's within Israel. From here, we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 29, chapter 12, verse 29 to 31. And it reads, When Yahweh, your mighty one, cuts off the nations from before you, where you go, and to dispose them, and you dispose them and dwell in their land, be careful that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed from before you, and that you not inquire after their gods, saying, how do these nations serve their gods? I will do likewise. You shall not do so to Yahweh, your mighty one. For every abomination to Yahweh, which he hates, they have done to their gods. For they even burn their sons and their daughters in the fire to their gods. See, this particular narrative is talking about Moses is telling them before they go into the promised land not to, you know, mingle with these people. He's telling them, look, you're going to go over there, you're going to take their land. You know, don't even, and once you take their land, you know, don't even inquire about what they believe. You know, because we already have a statue. We already have a mighty one. We already have a mediator. So why should we be inquiring about somebody else's way? We should be solidifying ourselves in his way, Yah's way. Why would the scripture say that the other nations will look to us and call us wise? If we sitting out there listening and learning from other people, how are we going to be wise in Yahweh's ways and his laws, statutes, and judgment if we're comparing them with other people's ways? What kind of sense is that? And he tends to go to the scriptures and talk about in Egypt. And we've learned over the years when he was talking about Egypt and the plagues that he was dealing with their deities that were over those plagues. You have many people talk about we don't wrestle with, you know, we don't fight with flesh and blood, but in principles and high places. How are you going to say these things, but yet you're inquiring about how somebody else is worshiping their deities? Or you're listening and you're picking up these different things and saying, oh, yeah, that sounds really good. Oh, yeah, I can do that, but I'm not doing it for that reason. I am doing it for this reason. But the origin of why it even started up was for that reason in which the person is doing it for. So regardless of what you say that you're doing it for, it still goes back to the origin of why it even was established. That's one of the problems that Israel has done over the years. Like we've learned over the years in regards to the Seder plate. We've been doing the Seder plate a different way. But if you look at the Seder plate, it has an egg on it. Where in the scripture do it talk about an egg? Where in the scripture do it talk about mortar? But these are things back in the day that we did. Opened our eyes and let us see in his scriptures what we must do. He passed it down through his learned ones, through his taught ones, through the ones that he inspired. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 18. It reads, that they not teach you to follow all the abominations which they have done for their gods. So would you sin against Yahweh, your mighty one? See, he's letting us know, hey, look, don't do it. Don't get caught up in their teachings. They might sound good, but they are not good. You know, and that's just going back to the little idioms earlier. I'm read it again. I'm going to read one of them. Do not swallow every story that is told. There may be a grain of truth somewhere in all the myths, but chew the meat and spit out the bones. I'm going to read a reference from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19 to 21. And, you know, the Father led me to this particular scripture, you know, because it's, you know, you'll see when I read it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 19 to 21. And it reads, quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. And I'm going to read verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. So that's you know, and simple, similar. You know, that, and that's scripture. Don't get caught up in all these stories. You know, pay attention to what you're reading. Pay attention to what you're studying. And make sure that they're in line with the word of Yah. Joshua chapter 23, verse 11 to 13. And it reads, take good heed, therefore, to yourselves, that you love Yahweh, your mighty one. But if you do at all, go back and hold fast to the remnant of these nations, even these who remain among you, and make marriages with them and go into them, and they to you. Know for certain that Yahweh, your mighty one, will no longer drive these nations from out of your sight, but they shall be a snare and a trap to you, a scourge in your side, a thorn in your eye, until you perish from off of this good land which Yahweh, your mighty one, has given you. See, understanding this, what's going to happen over the years with Israel and they incorporating various practices within what they're calling the ways of Yah? No, they not. They are thorns in your side. They are traps, making you believe that you're still serving the Mighty One, that you're still serving Yah, that you still have a belief in Yahushua. But if you're not speaking according to his word, then you're not serving him. You're not listening to his voice. You're not practicing his ways. Because the Father tells us exactly what he wants us to do. And he's shown it from generations to generations to generations. Because he doesn't change. He doesn't change what he wants us to do. 2 Kings chapter 17, verse 15. It reads, they rejected his statutes, his covenant that he made with their fathers, and his testimony which he testified to them, and they followed vanity and became vain and followed the nations that were around them concerning whom Yahweh had commanded them that they should not do like them. I'm going to stop here for a minute because recently, you know, we were talking, I think one of those things that came out on the YouTube was this woman talking about, you know, why black people going through what they're going through. You know, this is why. Because they fail to keep the laws. They fail to listen to his voice. They chose to follow after their own vanity. They chose to follow after their own imaginations. Why? Because the nations around them were following after their imaginations. And when you follow after your imagination, It is purely wicked. Wicked. Because that is our nature, to be in opposition of the Father, in opposition of the Torah. That is our nature. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 15 and 16. And it reads, were they ashamed when they had committed abominations? No. They were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore, they will fall among those who fall. When I visit them, they will be cast down, says Yahweh. Yahweh says, in the way, and see, and ask for the old path. Where is the good way? And walk in it, and you will find rest for your soul. But they said, we will not walk in it. You hear that? Do you hear that? We have many people in this day and time who are calling themselves Israel, and this is what they're doing. They're not walking in the ways of the Most High, and they are not ashamed that they're not doing it. He offered it to them. He told them to them. He reminds them. How? These feast days. It's a constant reminder of his love for us as humans. But sometimes people just choose not to want to serve, not to want the goodness of the Father, not willing to accept the sacrifice that Yahushua did, not willing to give themselves up for his sake. Levels of selfishness. Levels of selfishness. Matthew chapter 16, verse 11 to 12. How is it that you do not perceive I am not speaking to you concerning bread, but beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the yeast of the bread, but the teachings of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And this is dealing with Yahushua when he was talking to him around Passover time. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees, as he was warning them, were, you know, Israel, allegedly Israel. But these men were teaching. They had other teachings. They had other agendas. But one of the things that, you know, when we read this, I think somewhere, Yahushua tells them, you know, do what they say, but don't do as they do. You know, see, one of the things, you know, I tend to go here when we deal with those animals. You know, we can eat the cattle. Why? Because it chews the cud. It takes in that food. What are we going to use? It takes in that word, and it chews it up, and it goes down in one stomach, you know, but because it's not fine enough to go into another stomach, it comes back up and it chews it again and chews it again and chews it again. And then it goes back down and goes back through the first stomach, then goes to the second stomach. But ultimately, that's pointing to man. See, because eventually, as the word is constantly coming, we processing that word eventually, as we practice and do the word, it becomes a part of us. So as we're talking, we're also practicing. As it says, I use the term, talk the talk and walk the walk. And see, and that's what we're supposed to do. talk the talk and walk the walk. Where these Pharisees were talking the talk, but they wasn't walking the walk. They wasn't being a solid and good example. They was hypocrites. 1 Timothy, and it reads, but the Spirit says expressly that in latter times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons through the hypocrisy of men who speak lies, branded in their own consciousness with a hot iron. Going to go back to the beginning, an idiom. Do not throw the baby out with the bathwater. You know, this is one of those idioms that people use and says, expression of avoidable errors in which something good or of value is eliminated by trying to get rid of something unwanted. And sometimes when, we as individuals, we overlook something that someone is doing because they're saying some good stuff. He's speaking Bible. He's speaking that word. But his actions and deeds demonstrate something different. But then you continue to listen to this man or listen to this person. The more you listen to this person, the more you begin to accept what he is saying. The more you begin to tolerate and accept the fact that he got bad habits. But he is talking that word. He's talking the truth right there. I feel that. As we say sometimes. And it's another idiom that people say, he's a work in progress. Work in progress. From here, we're going to go to Isaiah chapter 30. Verse 9 to 11. And it reads, for it is a rebellious people who will not hear Yahweh's law, who tell the seers, do not see, and the prophets, do not prophesy to us right things. Tell us pleasant things. Prophesy. Get out the way. Turn away from the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Listen to people telling those who have a relationship with the Most High. Don't tell us what he's telling us. Don't tell us right things. Don't tell us things that's going to make us feel good. Tell me everything will be all right. And in that process, what has happened? The Father's giving you what you want. That's what you want. You don't want me around? All right. But I'm still going to be around. I'm still going to be dropping little notes on you, dropping little CDT, causing this person to walk past you. Because in due time, you're going to turn back to me. And I'm being here waiting for you. Because you don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you're doing. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 to 5. It reads, for the time will come where they will not listen to sound doctrine, but having itching ears will heap up for themselves teachers after their own lust. And will turn away their ears from the truth and turn away the fables But you, be sober in all things. Suffer hardships. Do the work of evangelists and fulfill your ministry. You understand? We as believers, that's what we have to do. Still have to be sober in all things. We got to go through that hardship. We got to go through our persecution. Like I went through this week, went through levels of persecution. You know, the good thing is, you know, the Father didn't, he didn't send me into that, you know, that woe is me, that self-defeating mode. I just grinning bad and went through it and, you know, he sent me some little quiet words and was like, you know, how you going to explain this to your wife? See, that's his go-to for me. How you going to explain this to your wife? And I was like, yeah, let me get myself right. Because sometimes we be making this, you know, we as individuals, we make decisions. And we be reactionary. And we don't be paying attention to the effects that it may have on someone else. Because when the Father, you know, is looking at us and seeing us and knowing our potential and seeing us go astray, it hurts them. Just like when we talk to our children and talk to our nieces and our nephews and our family members and the people we encounter, and we share this good word with them. We share this truth with them. We share this good news with them. And we see the decisions that they make. It increases our sorrow. It increases it. We feel bad. But we understand and know that another day may approach and we may have another opportunity to share some more seed, to share some more word with this individual. We just pray without ceasing that the Father opens their eyes, turn around, and seek his goodness. As we read earlier, go back and seek that old path. Understanding that it was so simple then, but it can be simple now if we get out the way and allow our ears to do what it's supposed to do. Allow our mind to hear, to do what it's supposed to do, and that's hear its creator. John chapter 20, verse 21 and 22. And it reads, Yahushua therefore said to them, again, peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. I'm here. I'm going to stop for a minute. Did he breathe his breath on them? Spoke to them. In the beginning, this lesson, he spoke to them. And he told them what he wanted them to do. And that was to hear his voice. Hear his voice. And this is what Yahweh is saying in the beginning. And this is what Yahushua is saying. Yahushua therefore said to them again, peace be to you. As Father has sent me, even so I send you. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. So they received the Holy Spirit before he laid his life down. John chapter 15, verse 10 and 11. And it reads, if you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and remained in his love. I spoke these things to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be made full. So we have to understand, Yahushua breathed on us. His love, so that we can have joy. So when times get rough and times get bad, just remember the joy that he has given us through his Spirit. And to understand that we don't need to inquire about those other gods in those other ways. See, because the Father's going to talk to his people, going to talk to his leaders, and his leaders are going to talk to you and warn you about those ways. Because we already know who's the author of them, the opponent. And that's what we're learning about, the opponent. And the more you understand about the opponent, the more you can defend yourself against the opponent and his ways. We read in the scriptures, you're not ignorant of his devices. Why? As the Father opens the eyes of the prophet to reveal these things to his people. Open the eyes of his teachers to reveal to his people. And that was the last scripture for the night. Just want to put it out there, like I said in the beginning, not saying, you know, can't listen to other people's stuff, but be mindful when you share it. Be mindful. Search it out. Study before you listen it out. Because you never know what type of ears, you know, is seeing these things. Because we're all students. We're all children. And we all may perceive things in a certain way. You know, where there's a scripture that talks about feeding them with milk and feeding them with meat. Those that are mature can handle the meat. But those that are not mature must be fed with milk, must be fed with puree, must be fed with rice. So I think that's the process. You know, first you feed the baby milk, then you add a little rice to it or some barley or something to thicken it up. And once they, you know, then you begin to change the baby's diet. It's the same thing with us in this word. Be mindful of what you're feeding people. Be mindful. And be mindful of what you're reading. be mindful of what you're taking in. Because as we read in these scriptures, they inquired about other nations and got caught up. And in the process of getting caught up, they made the Father angry. And the Father dealt with them. And if we make the Father angry, he will deal with us also. We might not understand why, but then eventually we will understand why. Because when we start to reflect on our life and reflect on what we're doing, we're going to understand why the things are happening in our life because of what we're doing and what we're proclaiming. If you're proclaiming to be a sinner, he will deal with you as a sinner. But if you're proclaiming to be righteous, he will deal with you. He deal with the righteous. Because he who knows to do well and don't will get them stripes. Those who don't know and do bad, he's still getting some stripes too. So he's the equal opportunist. So, family, hopefully, you know, Father allowed you to enjoy this dessert because more than likely everybody already had their dinner. You know, time to get that dessert. You got that dessert. Now, you know, you can sip on some wine and let that dessert mellow you out. So you decide to go for your peaceful slumber. And I'm just thankful that the Father has given me an opportunity to come before you all and speak according to his word. And I'm just thankful that he has allowed me to see yet another moment, be another Sabbath, and continue to be a servant for you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to come to this moment to give you praise and give you honor. In the name of Yahushua, our Lord and our Savior and our Redeemer. Father, we ask of thee to protect us in our unconscious mind as well as our conscious mind, allowing us to stand up for your word, allowing us to uplift Yahushua as he uplifts us. Father, we thank you for our friends and family. We thank you for the healing power that you've given us. We thank you for the strength that you've given us. But ultimately, Father, we thank you for the love that you've shown us. Open our minds to receive the wonders of your word. Open our mouth to speak the wonders of your word. Solidify our feet in that right and old path. Blessed are you, Yahushua, healed of Abraham. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who resuscitates the dead. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the holy power. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who sanctifies the Sabbath. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who restores his presence to Zion. Blessed are you, Yahushua, the beneficent one. Blessed are you, Yahushua, who blesses Israel with peace. Shabbat shalom, Yisrael, may you all have a peaceful slumber and then continue to enjoy the wonders of this Sabbath day. Shabbat shalom, may you all have a peaceful slumber. Shalom.
Thank you. to build and not destroy. Let my words be true to every girl and boy. Make my feet to go wherever there is need. Let my light so glow that all may see you in me. Thy will be done.
Thy will be done.
That the righteous path must be. Let me see the God in every living thing. Let me use my art for the healing of humanity. Let me live my life that with every breath I breathe, thy will.
Outside is embrace.
Don't waste no time.
Love and happiness. may be going through, just know that he cares. He will never forsake you. He's always there, even when you don't feel him. And woe, woe, woe to you if you don't give him praise. And woe, woe, woe to you if you don't have your hands raised. And woe, woe, woe to you if you don't understand that without his love we couldn't lift our hands. So go ahead and lift your hands.
Thing. And that is, if I don't get into the presence of Yahweh, my life will remain the same. My trials, my tribulations, and my problems will remain the same. But if I can get into his presence, if I can worship him, if I can lift my hands, if I can say, Yahweh, help me, then I know that he will take over. I don't have to do it. He will do it for me. He said he would. So get into his presence and don't wait another moment. Don't wait another day. Don't waste time outside of Yahweh's embrace.